We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast. I'm Clay Link, here with RotoWire.com's lead prospect analyst, James Anderson. James, we've got kind of another grab bag sort of show, a variety of topics to get to, still awaiting the arrival of most of the top names, but how are you doing on this Wednesday?
Doing all right, man. It's good to be talking to you again, and yeah. we actually have a decent amount to go over today.
Yeah, man, I know, you know, we are kind of playing this waiting game, but some guys are already making waves, some youngsters, and we'll definitely touch on a lot of them. We were talking on the show, on the XM show last week, kind of about Jazz Chisholm's ranking history among prospects and how he was pretty well flat and even, you know, inside the top 50, but never like quite an elite level prospect, but what he's doing so far this season, especially with that walk rate, is really surprising me. Do you still kind of view him as a guy who, you know, is not really going to reach a level like a superstar level? Or do you think maybe Jazz is better than a lot of people expected?
Well, I, you know, full disclosure, I just bumped him up to number 6 overall on my top 400. That's the only update I've made, but I wanted him to kind of graduate where I actually value him rather than just keep him where he was at until he graduated. And I think the reason why I kept him in that 25 to 40 range was because the upside was undeniable, but the risks were also undeniable. The hit tool was very much kind of TBD. And so I wanted him to be, you know, I didn't want anyone to trade him away without getting a really nice prospect back or anything like that. And so I wanted to keep him in that range because of the upside. So I don't think, you know, this, he's kind of reaching sort of the high end of what anyone would have expected from him. But this isn't, you know, crazy what he's doing. Like, I mean, his tools 100% could have led to this if everything kind of clicked. And, you know, you mentioned the walk rate. For me, it's the K rate. Like, you know, doesn't really matter to me where his walk rate would be. I mean, it was just about, was he going to strike out under 30% of the time? Because if he does that, then he's just going to do a ton of damage. And as of right now, he got another nice day at the plate today, 193 WRC plus, K rate under 27%, walk rate 16%. You know, those numbers aren't fully stable yet. I mean, it has only been 56 plate appearances this year, but I mean, this is about as good as anyone could have hoped for to start the season. So yeah, I think he is starting to look like a star in the making and someone where you might still be able to buy high on. You know, I think, like I mentioned how I bought high on Trevor Rogers before the season started when the hype was starting to mount. That's a legit strategy if you think a guy is going to keep climbing. Sometimes people just look at the idea of selling high and just kind of do it without thinking about how high someone's value is going to creep. I mean, if you can go flip, you know, someone like Austin Martin or someone like that for Jazz Chisholm, you might be able to pull that off just because the Jazz owner might think, well, I'm cashing this guy out at you know, maybe the peak of his value, that type of thing. But if we get, you know, another month into the season and he hasn't got on a massive slump, you know, his home runs and stolen bases are going to be up there with anyone. So I just think he really looks the part of a future star.
Yeah, man. I had a guy trying to buy high on Jazz in the RotoWire Stake League, our buddy, RotoWire editor Eric Segrist. And I was just like, yeah, I don't know if I want to sell on Jazz, you know, sell high. I don't think I really want to, because as he said, who knows really what the ceiling is for this kid? Because all of a sudden it seems like the plate skills, maybe something clicked with him in the box. And, you know, seeing him catch up to 100 and turn 100 off Jacob DeGrom around and then calling it a lighter 100. I mean, that was like one of the most baller quotes of the year so far. But I know StatCast numbers more descriptive than predictive, especially this early on. But the guy is in the 100th percentile in terms of barrel rate. His barrel rate, James, is 27.6%. Jazz Chisholm. So, yeah, I mean, if you add these tools and then a more mature approach at the plate, I mean, he's in the midst of taking off, and he could climb even higher. So I'm glad you made that adjustment for him to go out on top. He's got to be close to graduating, right?
Yeah, he's about 30 plate appearances or 30 at-bats away.
Nice. And I know one of our final XM shows, the draft season, you said that one of your biggest regrets was not having much Jazz, but you did rectify that, right, in one of your mains?
Yeah, I got him in the last main of the year, which I think was on the eve of opening day.
Nice.
But, I mean, just didn't get enough, obviously. I mean, there's all I do in April. Like, I was kind of complaining about this the other day. Like, April's maybe my least favorite month of the year for fantasy baseball, because I just sit there and dwell on my mistakes rather than like appreciating the hits. Like, I just I never think about the hits. I just think about, man, I wish I had more of that guy.
Yeah, same here, man. This is kind of a tough time of the year where things are still, you know, you're still kind of feeling out your teams, you're taking some blows. But trying to stay afloat for now, and that's all we can do is just weather the storm. And, you know, it's a long season, so you just got to try to take the good with the bad right now and know that other people are dealing with bad too right now. But, yeah, I'm loving Jazz. I'm loving that hair and loving the Euro step. I'm surprised nobody busted out the Euro step before, like, seemed like
he's
such a, yeah, he is an innovator. I love that guy. Yeah, excited about Jazz. Now, we saw Alex Kirilloff, James, briefly called up last week as part of a doubleheader. I believe he was the designated 27th man, so he was sent back down. if you're the designated 27th man, you're probably going down. They can always make another roster move to keep you around. But it was kind of assumed that Kirilov was going to be up for a short-term fix. And now it doesn't sound like he's an option to replace Kepler for now. But do you still think we see him pretty soon?
Yeah, the Twins beat writers were kind of all over this one yesterday. Kepler went to the IL after testing positive for COVID. And obviously people were just like, oh, is it Alex Kirilov time? But the team made it pretty clear that they weren't going to fly someone from St. Paul to Oakland commercially for that two-game series, just given the pandemic, obviously. So they brought up guys, Brent Rooker and Travis Blankenhorn, guys that were on the taxi squad traveling with the team. But then they will have a chance when they come home this weekend. That's when Kirilov could join the squad. So I'd be pretty surprised if we don't see Kirilov get into that lineup this weekend. You know, it's not a guarantee, but I think certainly better than 50% chance that Kirilov is up and playing this weekend.
And of course, Jared Kelnick, the guy, well, I'm waiting on, and a lot of people are too. I mean, it's got to be, if not this week, early next week, I'd imagine.
It's like
a lawsuit waiting to happen.
I saw Ryan Divish, who covers the Mariners, say that he thinks it's going to be early May the other day. I just would encourage anyone who has Kelnick, you know, if you miss out on, you thought you were getting like 10 extra games from him, just don't let that put you in a bad mood. Go take a walk, go do something, take your mind off things. I mean, he's going to be up. Just it's an inevitability. If it's not this week, if it's not next week, it'll be the week after. So, just kind of, you know, just try to tread water until he's up. But, you know, you drafted him knowing that you weren't going to get a full season, and you're definitely going to get at least 2/3 of a season out of Kelnick.
You know, I was going to go take a walk the other day. Something was pissing me off, something on Twitter probably. But then I look outside, James, it's snowing here in Madison. Just ridiculous, man. Come on. So I had to play some more MLB The Show, but I
You might have wanted to take a walk after playing MLB Show.
Yeah, if you're striking out. Like
that's all I've seen, like I you know, I'm not a gamer, but all I've seen people tweeting about regarding MLB The Show is just like, how do you get good at this game?
Yeah, I know it's on like Xbox consoles now for the first time, and a lot of newbies. I'm essentially a newbie, but I've been playing these like moments where you like relive certain moments. You know, hit two home runs in a game with Eric Davis or do something like this. And so I've been having kind of fun with it, but I'm like basically like 2 years ago Jazz in that game. Just play discipline is pretty rocky. But you know what song is on that soundtrack, James, for MLB The Show 21? Get this. Juvenile Ha.
Oh, perfect.
On the soundtrack. It came on and it popped me off my seat, essentially. It is the clean version.
Now I almost want to tweak what my walk-up song is going to be today. That'd be a good one.
Well, I think I use Ha on our commercial jams list. So
you can repeat yourself.
I think the creators, you know, PlayStation San Diego Studios or whatever, they must listen to the pod.
Oh, I'm sure.
Stealing some of our commercial jams. But James, last week on the show, you called Luis Garcia. You said, you know, if he's out there, go take a peek and grab him. That was the little soundbite I clipped out to share on social media. And sure enough, you know, he had a tough task and he took it down. In Coors, 6 Ks, 2 earned runs and 5 2/3 innings. Props to you on another good call here. Do you think that's enough for him to stick around in that rotation for a bit?
Man, I hope so. They've already confirmed Christian Javier for Thursday. So they would pretty much have to go six man to get him another start. So probably not, but, you know, he's certainly, I think with his last two appearances, he's clearly part of that rotation.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Knicks now. Like, I don't think there's going to be any kind of hesitation to plug him in the next time they need a guy. So I think in 15-team leagues and deeper, and certainly like points leagues with deep benches where pitchers have a ton of value, you just need to hold him and just sort of wait until, you know, he gets another turn. But not going to pitch again this week. They've already kind of confirmed all five starters for today through Sunday, and they've got that rotation full at five. But I mean, as we've seen, like, it just seems like another pitcher bites the dust every day, so it shouldn't be that long until they need him again.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Like any good team, hiring the right employees for your front office is just as important as recruiting the best players for the game. That's why you need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, and you mentioned Christian Javier, and he'll be back tomorrow. Urquidy tonight in Coors. We'll see how that goes. Urquidy's been I only have him in a few leagues, but I guess he had 7 Ks in his most recent start. Yeah, he hasn't been that bad, I guess, but yeah, you just never know. A guy could go down, or maybe for performance reasons, they could swap a guy. I know Odorizzi's had a rough start, but he's probably pretty well set. But yeah, eventually this will work itself out, and it's definitely a guy you want to stash after that performance. Same deal with Ryan Weathers, I imagine. You're happy you capitalized if you did, and now you're just going to probably sub him out for the time being?
Well, it'd be nice if he got to face a team other than the Dodgers.
No kidding.
Seems like he's just always drawing the Dodgers. you know, I mean, he certainly looks better than Chris Paddock looks. So I would be like, I'm skeptical about how long Dennison Met stays healthy. You know, those top three in that rotation are ironclad as it gets. But after that, you got Lamet, you got the health concerns there. Chris Paddock has just been a bad pitcher for about a year now. And maybe they think about going six man or something. But if Weathers just keeps pitching well, and again, it'd be nice if he got to face a team other than the Dodgers, because if they just keep getting looks at you, eventually they're going to do something. But if he can just kind of hold up his end of the bargain, I think the starts will be there. And I mean, he just looks so good. He looks so incredibly poised for a pitcher his age. It's just really rare to see a guy that's that young and looks that poised out there as a big league starter.
Yeah, two off days next week for the Padres kind of hurts when it comes to Weathers. But yeah, Paddock, man, I don't know what's going on with him. All of a sudden, he's just – well, not all of a sudden. You mentioned it goes back to last year, but he's a two-pitch guy, and the fastball gets crushed. So
right.
He's fastball changeup, and then one pitch is just getting knocked around. The velocity's held steady, but from what – I don't know what it is. Maybe, like, movement's changed or I don't know, but he's averaging the same essentially on the heater, but it's – 308 average last year, 275 this year. He hasn't given up a homer on the fastball, which I guess is a decent sign, but gave up 10 homers on the fastball last year. But you do have to worry a little bit. And I bet some people in real shallow leagues, you know, 10-team hometown league, you're probably thinking about cutting bait. James, we've lamented on this show Tony La Russa's handling of Andrew Vaughn. Now Tony La Russa wakes up out of his drunken slumber and says there will be some tough decisions to make when Billy Hamilton finishes his rehab. So do you look at that and kind of read between the lines and say that Vaughn's maybe looking at an option down at some point?
I saw that quote from him, and of course, like, anytime Tony speaks, I just assume the worst, like, you know, it's just going to be something terrible. It seemed pretty cryptic, but, you know, you would assume that he's maybe talking about Billy Hamilton getting DFA'd or something. That would be, like, the logical way to read that. But the way I read it was kind of tough decisions, a.k.a. we might be sending our best prospect down once. I mean, we got a clear spot for Billy. You know, Bond. Say what you will about him, he's got a 393 OBP and three doubles in his last eight games. Like, he, at the plate, does not deserve a demotion. But I don't want people to be surprised if that does happen. Like, I could totally see just an outcry of people just being like, what the hell, if Vaughn gets sent down. And I would just be kind of bracing for that as a possibility here.
Yeah, man, it's frustrating, but it does seem like, you know, with Yermín Mercedes' emergence, that Vaughn's just kind of got lost in the shuffle, and he just hasn't separated himself in La Russa's eyes anyway. But yeah, La Russa, he had a quote earlier this month, I think it was, about how Vaughn, you know, well, yeah, we talked about it, how he had to check the lineup card and how... Yeah. He's not developing. He's ready to help us now. That's why he's not playing every day. He doesn't need the at-bats to develop. He's ready to help us, but he's on the bench.
It'd be funny if Vaughn comes in. I mean, obviously the first thing he does every day when he gets there is he checks the card.
And he got to.
It'd be funny if he checked the card and his name just wasn't anywhere on the card. And Skip is just like, yeah, pack your bags, bud.
Yeah, maybe that's what he was meaning. Check the card to see if you're even on there as a reserve. Yeah,
you're off the card.
If you're off the card entirely, that means you're off the roster. But so yeah, that could be a pain. I have him too as like my first baseman in some leagues. So not even as like my corner or util. So I may have to make some tough decisions.
first base seemed a lot deeper back in like February.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys that I liked kind of later drafts at first base are not doing much. So, yeah.
The only one doing stuff is like Carlos Santana.
Yeah. Yep.
He's like the only guy. I mean, I drafted like Christian Walker in a couple leagues. And yeah, the cheap first baseman, even the first baseman I paid up for, like Luke Voit.
There's another first baseman that you paid up for that he's held up his end of the bargain.
Who's that?
Vlad.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. He's been a monster. Listen to this, though, in TGFBI, James, my bench right now. You ready for this?
Yeah, yeah.
Altuve, Cabrian Hayes, Kelnick, which is my own doing. I brought that on myself, but Altuve, Cabrian Hayes, Kelnick, Springer, Yelich, Eliezer, Hernandez. So, again, people are all dealing with these things, but it's just, I mean, that just proves the point that, you know, it's not always stashing season. I mean, I'm compounding these injury problems by having stashed Kelnick.
Right, right. Yeah.
This is when stashing comes back to haunt you.
Exactly. I've been pretty lucky in TGFBI. I got the Altuve thing as well, but I've been pretty lucky there. But I mean, it's luck is a big part of the game this year.
Mm-hmm. My other guy on the bench there is Randy Dobnak. So he'll have to go.
Holding Dobnak still. I like it.
That's a cut this weekend. I actually thought about cutting Dobnak in AL labor, but I actually dropped Tyler Duffy instead.
Yeah.
Just because when I went digging around, Tyler Duffy, like, velo down, swing strike rate down, like, 10 percentage points.
Yeah.
And I picked up Garrett Whitlock, so I had to cut somebody, and at least Dobnak has a save for me.
Yeah.
One more strikeout than Duffy, so hell. James, now, and you're TDGX League, the Dynasty Guru, expert. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You had to make a tough call recently on Clark Schmidt. What did you end up doing with him?
I just, you know, I cut Clark Schmidt in, this is a 20-team Dynasty League with 40-man rosters. You can roster as many minor leaguers as you want. You could be 40 for 40 on minor leaguers if you wanted to go full tank, full rebuild. And I just in a league of that size, I just don't think you have to hold Clark Schmidt right now. Now he has already had Tommy John surgery. That was part of the deal when the Yankees drafted him, is that they knew that he was going to miss the first year plus of his professional career, recovering from TJ. And it seems like he needs another TJ is kind of my read on things. He received a cortisone injection, last week. He's had a second opinion. I don't think you need to hold a pitcher with all that stuff on the ledger, in a league that size. And so I just kind of wanted to let the listeners know that, you know, I did it. I know it's not fun to cut loose a guy like that that you might have been really high on at one point. But with pitchers, you know, life's not fair in many cases. And it's very, very rare for even established quality big league starters who have two Tommy John surgeries. It's very rare for those guys to come back and have success as a starter. And Clark Schmidt hadn't even established a level of success in the majors. So not only is he working on coming back from this elbow injury, but he also was still developing as a pitcher and wasn't ready to crack the big league rotation even before the injury. So I think you got to churn. This comes back to churning, especially in leagues of that size, you know, and there's definitely leagues I play in that are deep enough where I would hold Schmidt still. I dropped him for Bryce Wilson in full disclosure. Not a pitcher who, if they were both healthy, you know, it's not, not close to me, I'd take Clark Schmidt. But Bryce Wilson is healthy. Bryce Wilson is in the big leagues. He's pitching. He had really nice command his last time out. So I think that's a better use of a roster spot. So it's just kind of wanted to peel back the curtain there.
Yeah, I appreciate that transparency. And yeah, this time last year, I was pretty high on Clark Schmidt. I think you and I were even had him in our main at one point early on. And this is just the way it goes with pitchers, man. It's so volatile. And yeah, we're hoping the best, but the way things are trending with that elbow injury for Clark Schmidt, it's not looking great. So yeah, Bryce Wilson's kind of interesting. And I'm wondering though, did you try to trade Schmidt or did you just then not even?
No, not even. No, I don't think that's
not worth your time. Probably
it certainly wasn't worth my time. I mean, not worth my time to do a lot of trade talks, let alone trying to trade a pitcher who's dealing with an elbow injury. I also just don't want to waste other people's time, you know,
somebody will probably pick him up, but yeah, that would have been a waste of your time and the other person's. I agree wholeheartedly. Now, James, before we move on, a couple guys I want to talk to you about, but football season approaches and you've got to check out these new best ball leagues on Underdog. Best ball is the ultimate test of your live draft skills since there's no in-season management. That's right. Draft your team and Underdog automatically credits you with your best performing players every week. You don't need to play the waiver wire or worry about trades. It's just the draft. Who doesn't love drafting and Underdog best ball? You can draft as many times as you want because you don't have to do any roster management, saving you loads of time. Underdog's best ball leagues are drafting right now, starting at just $3. Once the season starts, Underdog also has daily fantasy and an all-new pick'em game. Go download the Underdog app now to get in on some best ball before the season starts. Enter promo code ROTOWIRE with your first deposit, and Underdog will honor a money-back guarantee during your first month. Love Underdog or get your money back with promo code ROTOWIRE. Search Underdog in your app store and enter promo code ROTOWIRE. James, I'm glad they're not mowing the lawn here today. By the way, I thought maybe that would be another problem again this week, but I guess because of the cold.
Yeah, I was going to say it was snowing, so the lawnmower stayed home.
I really can't believe that, man. April 21st. But James, in our main event last week, we picked up Josh Fleming, and I was happy with the early returns, but I got to say, we also picked up Kohei Arihara, and I don't know if we made the right call starting Fleming over Arihara.
I think we definitely did, process-wise, obviously, in hindsight, we still got a win from Fleming.
And Arihara's got to face the White Sox.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the reason we didn't start Arihara wasn't because of that start on Monday. It was because of that White Sox start over the weekend.
True.
And, good problem to have, obviously. But Arihara, it's one of those things where, you always hear people say, like, well, if you pick up a guy and you're not going to start him, is he worth picking up? I just thought it was kind of worth, I mean, we got him for a buck, right? Like, I think we got Arihara for $1 out of $1,000. So we get to have two more starts worth of information on him and kind of evaluate whether he's someone we want to start next week. But Fleming already had that track record dating back to last year. And he's such a Razy type of developmental story. Where he just, I guess we were kind of maybe even fortunate there that he went deep enough to get that win, only throwing 65 pitches. But
yeah, I think we definitely were.
He's a command guy, just really knows how to pitch and good team context. Definitely going up against the Royals, and he had a hell of a spring training too. So I think Josh Fleming. He's never going to be like a top 100 prospect or anything like that, but getting, I think he's just going to stick in that rotation for the foreseeable future. And I think you're going to be able to get some wins and play the matchups with him.
Yeah, I'm glad we were pretty aggressive with our drops, you know, and we're pretty active with free agency because, you know, nobody's really asleep at the wheel in this league. But I think we were able to sneak through a couple guys who are pretty nice in Fleming. And Arihara, I don't want to put too much stock into just, you know, what I saw with my own two eyes in one start. But I thought he looked really good. Striking out Mike Trout. He did almost give up a home run to Shohei Ohtani, his former teammate, with the Nippenham Fighters. But he got saved by an Adolis Garcia leaping grab at the wall. It was pretty good. But I thought overall, Arihara looked really solid, looked like he belonged. And I mean, he's on the Rangers. They don't have a lot of options to leap him and force him out. So I think, yeah, matchups-based play, I think he'll be worthwhile, especially in a 15-team mix. Now, I mentioned Adolis Garcia robbing that homer from Ohtani. He also had a home run himself in that game and a double. Pretty nice. And you said last week, maybe not on this show, but on Farm Friday at least, that, you know, deep league guys, sure, give him a look. And the fact that they're playing him in center, you know, they don't have a lot in center. They had, you know, Eli White, and who was the other guy who flopped?
Leody
Taveras, yeah. So I'm thinking, you know, at least the short-term outlook for playing time is looking pretty good for Adolis Garcia.
Yeah, and all the caveats I mentioned on Farm Friday about him still apply. Like, you can't expect a high batting average with Garcia. Like, it's just, that's not really part of the package there, but the power is definitely there. He hasn't stolen the base yet, but I think he will start adding a steal here and there if he can hold on to this job. And I think you outlined it pretty well, just the playing time picture. It's just, you know, Leody Taveras is a guy that is barely hanging on to the big league roster. I mean,
yeah,
I think
surprised he hasn't been sent down, honestly.
Yeah, he looked really overmatched, and you know, Eli White's just not a guy that you should be playing every day anywhere. So I think Garcia's going to get a bit more rope here. I mean, he might strike out too much to really take this job and run with it, but the power and speed, you know, I mean, in a 15-team league, especially a really competitive one, like a main event or something like that, where it's just really hard to find any position players who are getting regular playing time, I think he's worth a look.
Nice, man. I have this Giants Phillies game on, by the way. And Alex Dickerson just did his best Josh Van Meter impression.
Oh, nice.
Out in left field. He dove at a ball and just went right past him.
Yeah, nice.
That was a nice tribute to Josh Van Meter there by Alex Dickerson. Very kind. And then Mickey Moniak just struck out, but apparently Mickey Moniak had a homer in this game. So that's kind of surprising. I mean, talk about, you know, not getting much out of a spot in Texas in center field. Center field spot in Philadelphia has been just brutal. And so maybe Mickey Moniak, maybe he's the guy for a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I would not expect that to yield positive fantasy returns. I mean, I think isn't the wind blowing out there today, maybe?
Yeah, the wind's wacky today. It looks like it. I saw the jerseys flying around.
He's still not Moniak's still not on my mixed league radar, even in that situation. I mean, we mentioned Garcia, like the downfalls there, but the difference between Garcia and Moniak is like Garcia's just got better tools than Moniak does. So,
Garcia's a late bloomer, right? He's like 28, but the tools, I mean, he just hasn't really been given a chance. So maybe.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you could debate whether he's deserved a chance. Like, I mean, the hit tool is his worst tool. So, you know, I think you're just going for the power and the speed there.
Yeah. So no real interest in Moniak in mixers. What about Pavin Smith? I was watching the Reds Diamondbacks yesterday, and pretty rough outing for Luis Garcia again. But every time I looked up, Pavin Smith was roping a single. So I think he had at least three hits in that game. Forget exactly, but he's looked pretty good in the absence of, well, Christian Walker, but then Pavin Smith could also move out and play center, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's like the opposite of Adolis Garcia, where it's hit tool first and the power is kind of TBD. But, you know, he led off, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, he
and, did. Haven Smith actually is a guy. Like, I mean, if you're like if Vaughn does get sent down or maybe you just you want someone to plug in for like Rowdy Tellez or something like that. Haven Smith eligible at first base and the outfield, I believe, in most leagues. So he's definitely a guy to keep an eye on because the playing time should be there for him, just given the injuries that Arizona is dealing with. And I don't know what's going to be there in terms of counting stats, but obviously against righties, they think highly enough of him that he's going to have a nice spot in that lineup. And as I said, the strikeout rates are just really, really impressive at every level. And I think he's even got room to improve on that walk rate so far this year. So a guy that probably won't hurt you. And, you know, maybe he can unlock 20 homer power or something like that. But just based on the lineup placement against righties and the fact that he's got that first base outfield eligibility makes him kind of interesting.
Yeah, three hits yesterday and a walk, so on base four times against Luis Castillo and the Reds, scored a couple runs, leading off, as you mentioned, and it just looks the part. It looks like he can hit, and those hit tool guys, hit tool first, it gives them a nice foundation that they can maybe build on, add other things like power if they're able to tap into that, but just giving you a nice foundation skills-wise with the bat to ball. So I do kind of like what he's doing. Plus, the Diamondbacks, what do they have to lose by giving this guy a long look? They're not going anywhere.
No. And
Christian Walker is okay, but he's like 30. He's not going to be a foundational piece.
Right. I mean, Christian Walker probably isn't going to be a big part of the next great Diamondbacks team. And next year, the DH will probably be there, and you could play Walker at DH and Smith at first base, or maybe Smith in left field or something like that. I mean, he's definitely someone that I think they want to take a nice long look at here.
Yeah, he's a pretty impressive player, and he was drafted pretty highly, wasn't he?
That was a reach probably, but yeah, I mean, first round guy for sure. Even they took him seventh overall in 2017, kind of a classic Virginia guy with kind of a like Virginia kind of took the Stanford swing a little bit in terms of just guys that you kind of want to pump the brakes on any sort of power projections on. But he would have been a first rounder that year, even if they hadn't taken him at seven. So, I mean, the hit tool has been a thing for him for a while.
Yeah, I didn't realize he went that high. But, yeah, okay, that may be a reach. But, again, a nice player with some pedigree, and they're invested in him, so they'll probably want to see what they have in Paven Smith. Now, James, before we get to the last couple of players on the outline, dang it, now I'm forgetting who I was going to ask you about. It'll probably come to me. So let's actually get to the first of the final two players on your list here. George Kirby. Now, he's a Mariners righty, right?
Kirby? Yep.
So we've talked a lot about Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez and Logan Gilbert. But is maybe George Kirby the next name that people are going to be talking about a lot?
Well, in dynasty leagues, I mean, Kirby is just the hype is really, really building. Still not a guy that I necessarily think we see this year. But a friend of the show, Chris Welsh, was tweeting out some very impressive video of George Kirby the other day that he got to see in person. And then the Mariners player development account was tweeting out a video of all his strikeouts the other day. He's just, he's carving everyone up. Like, it's not even fair what he's doing right now. 99-mile-an-hour fastball, devastating changeup, devastating slider. He's got everything working right now, and it kind of looks like he's facing... looks like he's facing some really overmatched hitters. I mean, I think he needs a bit more of a challenge. So I've gotten a lot of questions about Kirby recently, but his stock is good.
Nice, man. I remember who I was going to ask you about, by the way, because I was you know, whenever I stash a player, maybe you're the same way. You know, I go doing a Twitter search every now and then. I'll get bored. I'll start Twitter searching the player's name and just seeing all the like-minded folks who are saying, bring this guy up. So I was doing a Twitter search for Alek Manoah, and I was sympathizing with all the Blue Jays fans who want to see this guy up soon. And we've talked about him a lot, but 15-0 K to walk in 7 spring innings, only 1 hit allowed in 7 spring innings. You're probably sick of me bringing up Alek Manoah, but I stashed him for a buck last week in Stake League, dropping Dalton Jeffries. And I just think there's going to be an opening pretty soon for Manoah.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to pitch his way up against minor league hitters. Like, the Blue Jays are pretty regimented in how they go about promoting guys. And I think, you know, he might open at AA, and then a month or two, if he's just not meeting any resistance, maybe we see him up. But it's like teams just, especially teams like the Blue Jays, like they're not bringing up a guy like Manoah because they have a hole. Like they're bringing up a guy like Manoah when they decide he's ready. So I think he could be up this year, but it's going to be about him. It's not going to be about what's happening in the big league rotation.
Sorry about the pounding on the keyboard, by the way. I noticed something in the admin with Paven Smith, so I had to get that fired off. Sorry that I was doing that while you were talking, James. Finally, Kyle Harrison. Not a player I know much about, but you say here he could be the next great Giants pitching prospect. What can you tell us about Kyle Harrison?
Yeah, well, it's kind of that time of the year where a lot of these team accounts are tweeting out really impressive videos of their best prospects, and this isn't an account affiliated with the Giants, but I think it's FS or SFG Prospects. They really do a great job covering that system, and they sent out some video of his outing in the low A game against the Angels, and he struck out 5 over 2 innings. Fastball topped out at 98. He's a lefty. And you know, there was some hype building around Harrison this offseason. I had him ranked as their top pitching prospect. They selected him in last year's draft. He's a prep guy, so he's not a guy we'll see up in the majors this year, but in leagues where maybe 200 prospects are rostered or something like that, 150 to 250, something like that, Harrison might well be out there. And like, he's a guy where if he goes to low A and is shoving, like he'll be up near my top 100 fairly quickly. I mean, he's really, really impressive. The hitters that he was facing really didn't have much of a chance, and he's kind of looking like, you know, he's as advertised is kind of how I would phrase it. Go grab Kyle Harrison if you can in those sort of shallower dynasty leagues.
Very nice, man. Well, looking forward to the, you know, minor league seasons starting up eventually. Looking forward to the first-year player draft a few months down the road, and I know you'll be doing a lot of work, and we'll be talking a lot about the draft class on this show in the weeks and months to come. So always fun, James. Now we'll move on to the final segment of the show where we are selecting our preferred walk-up songs. If we were, you know, doing a little cosplay, James, putting ourselves in the shoes of big leaguers, if we were walking up to the dish, what would we want our songs to be? And I say we're kind of selecting these, but we are essentially drafting these because I'm not going to be able to select one that you've already chosen, obviously.
That's true. We are allowed to select ones that listeners have chosen.
Sure.
Such as friend of the show, Jeff Ponce. I might be stealing his selection in a few weeks, but. Yeah,
we can also
we're not going to overlap each other.
And we can also choose songs that we've had on other old playlists on the show.
Yes, yes.
I was tempted to do that, but I'm not going to do that. Why don't you go first this week, James? I feel like I went first last week. I don't know exactly, though. Maybe we need to create a spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah.
I could probably do this.
Okay, well, I can't remember if I've picked this one before or not, but I felt it was, you know me, I wasn't going to last long without picking something after Life After Death, so I'm going to go with Kicking the Door by Biggie. Now, this is a song with, like many mid-90s hip-hop tracks, there's a nice long intro at the beginning of this one that the PA people would have to kind of skip over to get to the at-bat part of it, but it's just one of DJ Premier's best beats and really kind of brings the type of energy and intimidation that I'm looking for in a walk-up track.
The intimidation, I like it. I like it. You know the phrase, look good, feel good, play good, James?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I'm going for with mine, because this is just a sexy track. And the one I'm choosing. Now, it's already my second appearance from E-40, so that may kind of contradict the sexy label I put on this song. But if you've ever heard it, you'll know, and you'll hear the first few beats, and it's just great. So You Already Know by Do or Die featuring E-40. So I just want, the very first... Like last week I said I wanted the hook for Look At Me, but I want just the very first few notes of this song to play me up to the plate, because I want to feel good, feel good, look good, play good. And it starts with some swag walking up to the ditch. So You Already Know by Do or Die featuring E-40. You know Do or Die, right? Poe Pimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some others. Their greatest hits is just classic. I think Do or Die really pretty underrated.
Well, I never really got into them. I know of them. I never really got into them, but
still Poe Pimpin' and Poe Pimp, two classics.
I mean, what's going to happen now is Andrew Redding's going to put in these last two tracks, and Spotify is always sort of suggesting songs that you can add to playlists, and now it's just going to be a bunch of E-40 stuff under there. That's
it'll probably be my last E-40 selection.
Please make sure it is.
Dude, you're going to regret that one day when you see the light on E-40. But no, I really like Do or Die. I hope this song is actually available on Spotify for Andrew to put it on. I believe it will be. You just never know. And he's gotten on me before, Andrew has, for picking songs that are not on Spotify.
Yeah, that is one of your go-to gimmicks. your tastes are not mainstream enough for Spotify.
Yeah, that is definitely one of my gimmicks. But yeah, I mean, this song I feel like will be, because that was on their greatest hits. Do or Die should be on. More people need to know of Do or Die. So they were on Rap-A-Lot Records, by the way. Rap-A-Lot had some great artists, including Devin the Dude. I just thought I'd mention Devin the Dude since it's 420 week. Anything else you got going on, James, that you want to mention?
No, that'll do it for me.
Nice. Well, thanks for all the great insight. Thank you all for listening. Catch more of James and myself on Farm Friday on SiriusXM if you want to hang with us for a couple more hours of baseball talk. Otherwise, we'll catch you next week on the RotoWire Prospect Podcast.